Hi, I'm Pastor Bill. Welcome to In His Presence, a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, where we bring worship and the Word together so that you may be encouraged and receive a revelation of God's healing power, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. May it bring transformation to your spirit, soul, and body. These teachings and worship sessions were conducted at various times and locations. We hope that you will be encouraged and inspired as we hear the truth of God's Word, as is brought to you today by Pastor Carolyn. Please join us. The service is already in progress.
Welcome. We're just rejoicing that you're here. I would like to introduce a couple of very special people. This is Ken and Marie. Bill started healing services 12 years ago this week with Ken and Marie as the worship team and some others along the way. And they have basically been wonderful friends and colleagues and ministry people in our lives for many, many years. I asked them tonight if they would please join us and help lead worship. And it's just wonderful. They're just both talented people, and it's just nice to have you here. And everyone knows Nick. So, and you know, the funny thing about it is we all sang together for years somewhere else. And here we are here tonight among you. And we're just so glad to be here. Tonight, our first song is You Deserve the Highest Praise. That's what we came here for. And we may be few in number, but we're great in the Spirit of God. And we came tonight to worship and sing. And some of our music, the first three or four songs, is going to be kind of moving and fast and worshipful. And then we're going to kind of quiet down a little bit. But I want to read a little bit from Psalms 149. It says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. Let the saints be joyful in the Lord and let them sing aloud. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And tonight, that is what we're going to do. We're going to sing the high praises of God.
You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise.
We're coming to your presence with singing. We're coming to your presence with praise. Enter your gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting. Power is on its way. So we shout. Hallelujah, lifting to you, for you roar our praise. You deserve the highest praise. We can't wait anymore. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise. We can't wait anymore. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. Presence with singing, come into his presence with praise, and enter his gates with thankful hearts. We are going to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting, God is on his way. So we shout hallelujah, lifting to you mighty roars of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. Everything within me reaches out to you. Your power, your majesty, grace and mercy too. There'll be singing and dancing and hearts and voices raised. You have set your peace.
people free. Now the house is filled with praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. You deserve the highest praise that we can give and more. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for.
You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise. You deserve the highest praise.
Bless the Lord. Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we bless you.
There is a name far above all others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a name that makes evil shudder. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a name far above all others.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
There is a name that makes evil shudder. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name,
Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
There is a name that will bring salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a name that will heal the nations. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Your name,
your name,
your name.
Your name, Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Lord, your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name,
your name,
your name,
your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He will write his name.
Worship him forever.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Oh, blessed be.
Blessed be the name of the Lord forever, 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 forever.
Forever, 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 forever.
And blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name. Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name. Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name. Jesus, your name will endure.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name.
Your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
We sing.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Forever, 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 forever.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know when I was singing that?
Praise your name,
it's
God.
It's saying that your name, Jesus, will endure. And I was thinking about Wendy. Wendy has been a Christian, the one that we've been talking about, this being healed. Just when doctors said you're dying and God's healing her, she knows whose name to call upon. She knows the name of Jesus will endure, that it's not going to just disappear one day and she can't call upon the name of Jesus. And I know that she's been calling upon the name of Jesus, because when she broke that leg, when we went over to her house, she was in horrible pain because that kneecap was split half in two. But the name of Jesus endures. In calling on the name of Jesus, the doctors can't understand it when they look at those x-rays. Your name, Lord, is high above everything else. Psalms 150 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trump, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance. One day, I wouldn't doubt it, that Wendy just doesn't dance down the center of the aisles because of what the Lord has done for her. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Because it's a song that's simple, and yet it shares a heart that we all need to have. God build in us a heart tonight that wants you more than anything else. Lord, you created us to be like Adam and Eve, who walk with you in the cool of the garden. Lord, it's the evening time. We want to have a walk with you. God, our hearts ache for a fresh encounter of your presence. God, our hearts long for the next level, the next place the next provision that you have in relationship for us. God, I'm so thankful that we can come into your presence tonight knowing that you are a God without end. Your mercies are new this morning. Lord, your provision for us is new this day. Lord, you have more than that you want to accomplish through us, your people, than we can possibly fathom. But God, even more than all that, Lord, you want us to take your hand and walk with you. Draw us, Lord, we pray. Draw us.
Our last song is a closing song. It's one of my favorites. It's an anthem, the Lord's Prayer. You know, we often pray the Lord's Prayer, but we don't often sing the Lord's Prayer. And tonight we're going to sing it. Oh, and it's so powerful. It's such a beautiful song. Out this part of the service, Lord, and we get into the word. We just want to thank you, Lord, because everything, Lord, that you do is good. Everything you do is good, and every gift is from the Father of lights. And we just worship you, Lord, and we just praise you, Lord. Honored and praised be your name, Lord, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 Doesn't want to stop.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us in our worship service. Now please stay with us as Pastor Carolyn brings the message.
Good evening. Tonight, we're going to be talking about some things that may be keeping us from our healing. Now, most of the time when you hear preachers or teachers speak about what keeps someone from being healed, it would come from a perspective of not knowing what the Word says or what the Bible says about healing, the lack of faith of the person praying for you or your personal lack of faith, and even sometimes unconfessed sin. I'm going to come from a different perspective. And I do not do this to upset or offend or teach it to offend, but more of encouragement for self-examination. What we're going to talk about tonight is self-sufficiency, social status, and pride. Now, the first time I taught this lesson, I used a visual aid, a cane. Why? Because I walked assisted with a cane for years, a lot of years. They say a picture paints 1,000 words, so if you want to get your point across, use a visual aid. So I hope the visual aid will demonstrate a story later. But what I want to present now is the scripture lesson, and then we'll come back to the cane. The lesson I'm going to present tonight is about the rich young ruler. Now, everyone has heard the story before. Tonight, you might hear it in a little different perspective pertaining to healing. And the reason I'm going to speak on this tonight is maybe this scripture teaching will hit close to home, the way it did for me years ago. But first, let's go to the scripture. If you have your Bible in front of you, turn to Mark 10:17. Now, as I read, you can follow along with me because I'm reading from the NIV. Mark 10:17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him and said, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "I've kept all of these since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus again said, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much as this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children's fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Now, before this story starts out, Jesus had just taught the crowds, the multitudes, about children. He said, "Unless you come as a child, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." And then a rich young ruler appears before him. Interesting timing. As we read in the beginning of the passage, this young man came to him and he fell on his knees and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now Jesus had just said, "Unless you become as a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Maybe the young man wasn't around for that part. As far as we know, Jesus did not repeat what he had just said to the young man. Jesus replied instead and said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good except God alone." Now Jesus said this for a reason. This young ruler was a Jew. First, Jews regarded material prosperity as a mark of favor with God. possessions or riches equaled their virtue. They thought their possessions exerted their right to eternal life, so he had a right to eternal life. Jews believed in the following commandments. In other words, his conformity to the law merited him righteousness. He knew in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of the people, if you externally conform to the law, in other words, outward works, then you're good. So he was good. In other words, according to the Jewish law, his conformity to the law merited him righteousness, and his possessions was his mark of favor for his ticket to eternal life. He thought it was outward works, not what was coming from the inside, but inner obedience escaped him completely. But he knew something was lacking, or he would not have asked Jesus what he did. Because here he knew he had everything he needed. He was a good Jew, and he externally conformed outward works, and he was rich, and his possessions were his sign of virtue. So basically, this young man, this young ruler that knew the law, was saying to Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Me." And Jesus was going to teach him something he had not been taught before. Jesus was going to show him the laws and the statutes does not merit righteousness. And by this time, what Jesus had just said about becoming as a child had completely been forgotten. So let's go further. What we find here is a rich young man, a ruler. Now let's take the word rich out and look at what it meant to be a young ruler. Now his position as a young ruler was probably what was the obstacle for him. This meant he was well educated, probably a member of the official council or the official court, and he was probably very highly looked upon and respected and young. Some commentators think that he may have even been from the Sanhedrin council with high social status. In fact, some writers even hint that this young man may have been of royal bloodline. Wow, a lot of prestige for a young man. Think about it. This kind of sounds like someone else we know from the Bible. Paul, the young ruler that was also from very high social status, member of the Sanhedrin, well known and respected, that had the Damascus Road conversion. Both Paul and this young man represented a social group that was mostly untouched by the gospel, not unlike today. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of people of high social standing that love the Lord, but there are a whole lot more that don't. Why in this particular case? Because if you were Jewish, wealthy, prosperous, you were favored. Then the tide changes. Regardless of what the young man had done, who he was, or what he said, in verse 21 it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus loved him. Jesus looked at his heart and knew that the young man had done everything he knew how to do to keep the law, to be a good man, to be righteous. And when he called him teacher or rabbi, it was out of respect, and he acknowledged Jesus. He was sincere. Jesus looked at him and loved him for that very reason. Then in that same verse, verse 21, Jesus said, "One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." Now what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, lay everything aside. Everything. Have total reliance upon me. Submit yourself. Humble yourself. Give everything that represents who you are and become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now I remind you, he had just told the people that you must humble yourself and become as a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. No one will come to me unless he comes as a child. In other words, set our pride aside, let everything go, everything, and humble ourselves to God. Here we're talking about attitude and actions. Verse 21, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. I know that everyone uses the scripture passage in reference to money, but it is so much more. What we're talking about is being willing to lay everything down, and salvation not being obtained by works, but salvation being achieved through righteousness. Salvation. You see, salvation or healing cannot be achieved by merit, or by works, or status. That same Greek word, sozo, is the same word for healing and salvation. It cannot be merited by works, only through righteousness. Sometimes we think if we are on enough ministries at church, or we have enough money, and we give enough to the poor or homeless, or perform enough tasks, we'll be worthy of salvation or healing. But what Jesus said in verse 27 is, what would be impossible with man is possible with God. And what the young man was looking for was for Jesus to tell him something differently than he did. And what Jesus said was not what he was expecting. Maybe he was expecting Jesus to admonish him for being a good Jew. But that's not what happened. He came to Jesus for help, and he walked away without it, or at least not what he wanted to hear. He didn't get what he came for, because he came up short. Jesus said, completely strip yourself, humble yourself, no longer be powerful and respected and in control, but instead be abased, humble, and maybe even persecuted. Now, I can think of some of us can relate to this. I know I can. Some of us are carrying around some riches. They may be our education, intellect, personality, good looks, talent, ability, wealth, social status, maybe even ministry position. You see, we may think our riches are who we are or a sign of God's blessing on us, but they may be an obstacle. Now let's shift gears for a minute or two. How does this relate to healing? Sometimes in order to get what we need, something must be required from us. Because of His great love for us, and His desire for us, Jesus desires something from us. He wants us to love Him. But loving means that we're going to obey Him. See John 14 about that. Not because we have to do it as a duty, but out of love. And this may require something from us. Let's go back to the visual aid. Remember the cane? Let me tell you a little story. 19 years ago, I was newly divorced. By trade, I was a banker and was making a good living for me and my daughter. I remember sitting one fall evening in my big, plush, beautiful office. I had a beautiful sculptured ceiling 30 or 40 feet above me, large, lovely stone pillars around me, the immaculately waxed marble floor below me, and my terrific 20 or so employees around me. A lot of power and prestige. And there I was in my beautiful office in my business suit, a corporate banker, and all was quiet around me. But I was looking around and feeling so lost. I think I felt a lot like that young ruler. Now, don't get me wrong. God blessed me with that job. It was exactly what I needed at the time. I was divorced. I was a single mom. And it was exactly what I asked for. And I remember as clear as day, because God has not allowed me to forget, looking around and saying, God, I do not belong here. I've been in ministry for almost 20 years. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm called to do. Where did it all go? What happened? You have to do something. You've got to get me out of this. I don't belong here in this corporate world with all these power mongers. I need out. I believe God looked at my heart and probably smiled now that I think of it, kind of like He smiled at the young rich ruler, because He knew what was in his heart. But the young ruler knew what it was going to require to lay aside everything and to do what was really necessary. And Jesus knew that was what I really wanted. Now, the Bible does not say what the young ruler did. It just said he was sad. We don't know the rest of the story. But I do know the rest of my story. God heard my prayer. God did not cause what was getting ready to happen to me, but He did allow it. I can relate to the story of Job, of suffering and trials. About 3 months or less later, in 1 week, I had three people come and prophesy to me, strangers prophesy to me, that my life as I knew it was getting ready to change. God told me I was getting ready to have some really dark days, but to know and understand that God had not turned his back on me or abandoned me, and there would be light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, now that's really scary. Some would say, well, you were prophesied of things to happen. It must have been the Lord's will. No, because very soon the Lord gave me the verse in Genesis 50:20. What the enemy intended for harm, God intended for good. What the devil did to harm me, God allowed to be used for good. The enemy tried to take me out, but God did not allow it. But he did let me suffer a little bit along the way. Now, I did not know what was going on at the time, but I had written it down, and thankfully so, because it sustained me for years what those prophetic people had said to me. A week later, in that big, beautiful office after the prophecies, and that office I was in control over, and all the other things that I thought I had control over in my life, looking back, that really kind of had control over me, my finances, my health, my emotions, my daughter, my status, everything I knew at the time that this independent woman needed, that prideful, self-sufficient, in control woman, everything was getting ready to come to a screeching halt. It almost became my tomb. You see, I was like that rich young ruler. I did everything according to the law in my heart. I did all the things I'd been taught, and I didn't know any differently because that was all I had ever known. I'd been forced all of my life to be self-sufficient. This ability, which for me was my strongest element in my life, my self-sufficiency, was my pride and joy. But my heart cried out to God, God, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. God, this is not who I'm supposed to be. Much like the young ruler. And a little while later, a few days after those total strangers came and visited and prophesied over me, along came an ugly, awful, nasty, tragic accident that would change my life forever. I fell and I cracked my head. At work. Yes, at work. And to make a long story short, I went through 3 or more long years of physical rehab, vocational rehab, cognitive rehab, emotional rehab, just about every kind of rehab therapy known to man. Every kind of rehab that you can rehab, I rehabbed. Total loss of self-sufficiency, control, yes, and pride. I lost everything I knew, my job, my savings, my health, my mind, my control, and some days, my faith. Yes, my faith. I lost everything I knew to be normal and familiar and comfortable. And I said, God, what did you do? And he said, I didn't do anything. And I said, God, what did I do? And God basically said, you didn't do anything either. But I am going to allow this to remake you. Become what you said you wanted to be, just like you said. And he reminded me of Genesis 50:20, what the enemy intended for harm, God intended for good. And the end result was this person was forced to lay aside the power, the prestige, the good-paying job, the lofty position. I laid everything aside for about 3 years. And instead, I laid on a couch and slept practically around the clock when I was not in some kind of therapy, with the most horrible, intense pain a person could ever go through, physical, emotional pain. When God allowed me to go to the bottom, the only place I could look was up. And over the years, God took that cry of, I don't belong here, I don't like who I am, and allowed the circumstances to change my life. Now, back to the cane. The reason for the visual aid, the cane became part of my rehab also, a new kind of rehab, a spiritual rehab.
Yes, using a cane was humiliating at times. 18 years later, there are some days I still need it. But as a reminder of where I've come from, it remains a lesson in having to expose myself and be vulnerable, which requires others to help. I have to carry a cane sometimes because I'm not 100%. Do you have a cane? Are you not 100%? What is it that may be keeping you from all that God has for you? Is it your riches, your intellect, your abilities, your cane? What is it that you might be leaning on, keeping you from all that God has from you, keeping you from your healing? For the rich young ruler, it was pride. For me, it was self-sufficiency. Some say that's pride. Self-sufficiency and pride the same. Sometimes it takes a lot of humbling yourself to walk up to a pastor or an elder or an altar or a prayer minister in front of you and say, I need you to help me because I am not 100%. You want to know what my biggest pride issue is? It's not the cane, but the exposure it brings. I like to hide and not ask for help. My biggest issue is you judging me and saying, wow, she's not everything I thought she should be. She's not completely healed. She's a minister. Her husband's a minister. They run a ministry. Why isn't she healed? Judging me instead of loving me and having compassion for me. Pretty silly? No. Many of you are just like me. Yes, it's hard to reach out, but because of stinking pride and self-sufficiency, the rich young ruler missed on all that God had for him, as far as we know. When it comes to healing, how many are missing out on the fullness or the completeness that God has because of pride? Pride to not allow anyone to see that you have a need. Pride by denying it's real or that it exists. Pride by secretly talking to God and hiding it from others. Pride by trying to make God look good by not admitting or sharing the struggles that you're going through. Pride to avoid people from praying with you because it shows a weakness or an inability to fully take care of yourself. Pride by saying that everything is fine when it isn't. Pride because you may have a ministry position in the church. Pride because if someone lays hands on you, they might mess up your hair. Pride because humility is not where you have finally arrived. Pride by not willingly admitting that there may be sin and confessing the sin to another person or being accountable to another person. This is very common in addictions. Pride, well, that's just not my style or the way I was raised. There's always the problem also of fear of what other Christians may think or say because we're struggling and don't seem to have the victory or our healing. Hey, I'm an elder or ministry leader and I can't let people see my needs. What would they think of me? Fear of what the world may think or say. Shame and fear that because I'm not healed, that somehow God isn't who I say He is or who He says He is, or I don't have enough faith. Often the response is to keep silent, to keep quiet, to not acknowledge that there is a need because of shame, fear, and pride. But God says in James that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So when we're asking for healing but not willing to deal with our pride or other weakness, we will find that God is not helping because of other things that are more important to Him. And if we're willing to do what He says and be obedient to His words, we can go to Him and receive what is needed. I read a quote from Peace Be With You Ministries that said, God loves us, but when there are harmful things in our life, He will often remove them if we allow. It can hurt. Pride, arrogance, bitterness, greed, lust. He has methods for every stronghold in our life, and He loves us too much to leave them there. He wants us healed, like a father removing a splinter from a child's hand, or a dentist removing a broken tooth. He knows that it's good for our own good, and he will not relent until it's removed. In a previous sermon, Pastor Bill shared, the Lord stands before us and asks, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? If the answer is yes, then you must be willing to ask for help, to stand for others, and maybe confess some sins, and to humble ourselves before God, and to do what he asks us to do. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another, so that you may be healed. Become as a little child and humble yourself. You know the scriptures. Joyce Meyer said in a teaching one time, the more independent you are, the stronger your personality, the more pride you have. It's part of your makeup. It's part of my makeup. I'm a pretty strong person. But don't get me wrong. Some of you passive, meek, timid, shy, quiet individuals, you have a problem with pride too. And if you say you don't have pride, you're pridefully denying it or lying to yourself. Tyndale's commentary says we're all rich in something. Something keeps us from humbling ourselves. That's why Jesus said in Mark 10:25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? Well, the camel has to get on its knees. Someone has to come alongside and take the load off. Everything has to come off. Then the camel has to lower his head, and the camel has to be pushed through. Tonight I'm asking you, how many of you, whether you're preacher, teacher, elder, superintendent, president of the PTA, whatever, whomever, how many need to submit themselves to God, lay down everything? Just like that powerful young ruler, the camel, like me, Pastor Carolyn. The last thing I want to say to you is, I am not here to condemn you. But just like Jesus looked at the young ruler and loved him, Jesus is looking to you, and he loves you, and he wants the very best for you. He has provided all that we need through sozo. That means salvation. And that word sozo covers healing. Let's not let something become between us and God, because God has so much to offer, so much to accomplish. I pray this will be a lesson in self-examination. Jesus, as we close here tonight, I ask you to help us to examine ourselves. Help us to examine ourselves truthfully. Holy Spirit, reveal to us our heart, our sin. As David said in Psalms, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And in another passage, David said, I acknowledge my sin to you. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. In another place, he said, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Jesus, show us our hidden thoughts, our attitudes, or actions that may be holding us back from all that you have for us. Jesus, I know that you've already done the work. You've taken the curse upon the tree so that we might be free from sickness and disease and sin. Help us to appropriate all that you have offered. I thank you, Jesus, that just like the rich young ruler, you look down and you love us and offer everything to us. Now, Jesus, I pray that you would help us to receive all that you have for us. In the glorious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Here in your presence, we are undone.
Thank you for listening to our program In His Presence. Our prayer is that God has spoken to you as you were in His presence. We hope that you will listen again. If you would like to have Pastors Bill and Carolyn speak at your organization, please contact us through our website. If you would like to help support Rapha Healing Ministries, please go to our donations page on raphahmi.org. All donations are tax deductible. In His Presence is a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, based in Midlothian, Virginia, and Jensen Beach, Florida.